This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. 5 months out from the Paris Olympics, Sligo boxer Dean Clancy updates us on his preparations and aspirations. Sligo Grammar School are back in another school's cup final. Sligo men's rugby team beat the league leaders in the AIL. And a big rugby week could get even bigger if Sligo can land the Connacht Senior Cup this weekend. Head coach Paddy Pearson gives us an insight into what's clicked at Hamilton Park this season. And Donegal Darts is having a big year nationally. Now one of the big local events returns to Kilcar this weekend. Ken Kennedy will be aiming for double top when he sets the scene for Saturday's Leo Molloy tournament. You are welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan. If you want to get in touch, you can WhatsApp or text the following number, 083-3500-530. The email address, sport@oceanfm.ie. And we're on Twitter as well, @OceanFMSport. It's been quite the day for St. Attractus girls Gaelic footballers in South Sligo. They are through to the All-Ireland Senior B Colleges football final after today's 4-15-3-5 semi-final win over St. Mary's College of Naas. That was in Longford today. Lots of big college games coming up over the next few days for Sligo and Donegal schools and universities. Tomorrow, Coola post-primary schools girls under 17 soccer team, they have their FAI National Cup decider against Coloiste Wirra from Askeaton in Limerick. That's at the home of Athlone Town FC tomorrow lunchtime at 1 o'clock. In Gaelic football, ATU Sligo senior girls footballers, they play their higher education Moynihan Cup semi-final against Southeastern Technological University of Waterford. That's in Cork tomorrow at noon. This is ATU's All-Ireland Championship. They reached the final of this competition last year. They're into the last four this time around. And a poignant backdrop to that game following the death last Friday of ATU student and member of that Sligo team, Ella O'Neill, who passed away and was laid to rest on Tuesday of this week. In Donegal, Saturday's the day. All roads leading to Clonus for Abbey Vocational School senior boys Gaelic footballers. They contest the Paddy Drummond Cup final. This is the All-Ireland Senior B Football Championship decider. They're against Ashburn Community School from Meath, 2 o'clock at St. Chernock's Park in Clonus this Saturday afternoon. If you can't be there, it'll be live on Ocean FM on our 105 FM frequency, courtesy of Donegal Plumbing and Heating in Old Lahey Road in Donegal Town. And in schools rugby, Connacht have confirmed this evening that both of Sligo Grammar School's senior and junior A Cup finals next Wednesday at the Dexcom Arena, the Dexcom Stadium in Galway, formerly the sports ground. They're both going to be live streamed by Connacht Rugby Online. So a busy few days on the colleges front. Also coming up on this programme, EJ Sligo All-Stars basketball head coach Shane O'Mara on reaching the Super League's end of season playoffs for the second year in a row. That's later. But first, as several Irish boxers are trying as we speak to secure a place in the Paris Olympics via the Olympic qualifier event in Italy this week, Sligo's Dean Clancy isn't burdened by that pressure because he's already on the Ireland plane, securing his place last year when winning bronze at the European Games. 5 months out now from Paris, he's continuing to prepare for the biggest boxing competition of his life. Last week, he and his dad and coach Jason sat down with Ocean FM Sport at their local gym, which these days is the Sean McDermott Boxing Gym in Manor Hamilton, to give us a sense of where Dean's preparations and aspirations stand at the moment.
Well, it's a real scene. It's the year 2024. You know, once New Year's came around, it was, you know, it's the Olympic year. But having the pressure off and qualifying back in June 23, you know, you got to remind, there's no rush. At the end of the day, it's a massive year, and I'm taking it day by day and enjoying the journey. You know, and I'm in no rush to get there, making every day count and pushing towards Olympics. And you know, it's one of these years I'm going to look back on a couple in years to come and remember. So I want to be present every day and enjoy it and push towards it. You know,
how are you spending your days at the moment? Are you in Manor Hamilton, Sligo, Dublin? You're effectively a full-time fighter at the moment.
Yeah, I'm a full-time athlete, like, so the last while I've been floating between Dublin and Sligo. I'll be up in the last 2 months, 3 months, it's been Monday to Friday in Dublin and then back home on the weekends training with Dad. But I was actually away there for nearly a month. I was in Bulgaria, and then I went to Italy to join the boys and girls in the Italy for the qualifiers. So they have a training camp in the CC, which was good.
These are fellow Irish fighters.
Yeah, they're my teammates, and you know they're gearing up. They're in the last preparations for the first World qualifier outside Milan. They're flying at the moment. You know, when I went there, the first thing I noticed is how sharp and focused and ready to go they are. So I'm really looking forward to all of them, and hopefully get another 8 in the plane.
So you're getting to know the other Irish boxers who will hopefully be part of this Olympic team.
Yeah, a lot of them I would have known, like, would have been on the team for years, like, you know, and we've been really close because essentially we train together, we live together and spend most of the time with them, and we're all in the same goal, chasing that Olympic glory. So, I'm really looking forward to watching them now next week when they fly off and supporting them from home.
Are you going to have many fights between now and Paris?
They're looking at the Europeans. They're about 8 weeks' time.
Is it the European Championships?
They're European Championships, yeah. That'll be a good preparation for me as well. Probably a number of tournaments in between that. Maybe, hopefully, get 8 or 9 fights between now and Olympics. You don't want to overcook myself, as I say, but mainly training camps, development, focusing on my training, what I'm... just becoming a better athlete. And I got the ring rust off when I was there in last month in Bulgaria. I got beaten by the Uzbek, who managed to get to the final. Good lad, he's the Asian Games champion. Great fight, and yeah.
And when you're travelling around Europe now, and these guys you meet in contests, are they potential opponents for you in France?
Yeah, there would be. I spared boys there in the number of weeks is in Bulgaria and Italy. Like, I would have spared them all, and no better. Like, yeah, I would. Yeah.
And are you someone who takes notes? You know, the guys you are coming up against. I mean, do you look at the field, or are you concentrating on Dean Clancy and what you're doing?
No, I just focus on myself each training session and sparring. You know, I wouldn't really care who I'm fighting against or who I'm sparring against. It's like, you know, I'm learning off them and seeing what they're doing wrong and stuff.
So you're spending time in the Irish training camp in Dublin, so you're in contact with people like Zara Antia, who's so well known in Irish boxing circles. What is that whole experience like for you?
That's great. Like, you know, you're around someone there who's been there from the start and has coached many people, you know, like Katie Taylor, obviously Kelly Harrington, who's on the team now and going to Paris, Paddy Barnes, Michael Conlon, Kennedy, and like all the great Irish amateurs that we would look in the past. Too many to mention, but you know, he's a great person to have around and a great person to have at the team with a wealth of knowledge.
Okay. So it's all about focusing on the summer now. Everything you're doing is geared towards that.
Yeah, for now, definitely. Yeah, that's the main goal. You know, the pressure off me, qualified already. I'm looking to get on that podium, get a podium finish and bring back a gold to Sligo. Yeah. So.
Because there are still some fellow Irish boxers who are trying to qualify for their weight category, so there's a pressurised few weeks ahead for quite a number of Irish boxers.
Yeah, and same as myself, and there's a few there that went to the last qualifiers. You know, we've all been there, we've all been in a situation in such a high pressure environment, and I full belief in them all. You know, even though it's a young squad, they've a lot of experience in the international scene, and I'm really looking forward to watching them.
Sure. You're 22, you're a young man, but in some ways, can you offer some advice too? Because you've been through some of this before. In terms of trying to qualify.
Yeah, I think just take one fight at a time, one round at a time, you know. Don't be looking at the end result. You know, don't be looking at the draw, who you're going to fight next, if you win this fight, next fight. Just one fight at a time, go out and perform. And, you know, with that team, the talent on that team is amazing. I think as long as they get the performances right, they're going to win, I think. It's not going to stop them.
Are you trying to save yourself to be in your peak condition for the summer? Is that hard to do? How do you go about that?
Yeah, that's something I'm learning. You know, I don't want to be stressing myself too out. You know, if there's days I'm not really boxing the best as I should be, or I'm not feeling as sharp as I should be, or there's something holding me back, injuries or whatever, I've got to remind myself the main goal is Paris. As long as I'm 100% for Paris, that's the main thing. In between that, it's all development and stuff. But that's something I'm learning, and the coaches like Zoran, others, they would have a lot more experience in that, and having talking to them and reassurance of them is the main thing. So,
We're sitting here chatting in Sean McDermott Boxing Gym in Manor Hamilton. Can you remember the very first day your dad brought you in here, who has Manor connections? Do you remember where you started out here?
Started in Ballinacaro first.
Yeah, okay, of course.
When he was nine years of age. He was there. We were there till about he was 14. Right. And I want to progress and do a bit more myself with him. So we moved out here to Sean McDermott's, where I boxed for a number of years myself.
And, this is your home gym?
Yeah. And Mum just lives up the road, so it's great for training camps, you know. So do a bit of training here in the morning, go up to Mum's for a bit of dinner, and back down for afternoon session. We've done that many times, leading up to camps, Europeans, Irish, etc.
I'm just wondering, all the bags here around us, Dean, like, you have pounded these for years, for hours and hours and hours. I mean, when you were, let's say, 6-7 years ago, did you imagine yourself being where you are now?
I did, yeah. Like, one of the earliest memories I have of watching Olympic sports would be London 2012. You know, I remember Katie going around the ring with the Irish flag around her shoulders. Like, you know, I thought that was amazing. And I was like, you know, I remember telling Dad, like, I want to go to the Olympics. And he always in my ear about, you know, we're going to go to the Olympics and stuff. But to actually go and do it, you know, it was amazing. And I think believing in yourself and focusing on your training and, you know, working hard towards a goal and a second goal and having your dream and chasing it is the main thing. And obviously blessed to have Dad as my coach. You know, not only as me as a father, but as a great coach. He's the man who got me here, like, at the end of the day. And, every session, it was just reminding myself. I suppose after COVID and when I moved up weight to 63 and, you know, I hadn't fought in a while and remember, I was in under 22s and won the gold. I remember chatting to Damien, who's one of the head coaches up there now. You know, he was... And Jack Marley won bronze that year as well. But like, he was saying how we're the future, you know, we're 2024. And we would have came home then and watched the Tokyo squad over there getting medals and stuff. And Kelly and Aiden, then watching them come back, you know, we're thinking to ourselves, you know, we're next.
You've always struck me, Dean, you have great belief in yourself. Now, I know boxers have to show that outwardly. That kind of comes with the sporting territory of this sport. Yeah. You project that image. You know, I'm sure you're human too and there's moments of self-doubt, but where does that belief come from?
I think preparation. But I do believe, you know, having that self-belief in you and confidence is essential, you know. Yeah. It's hard at times, of course, naturally, you know, things be thrown in your way, but you got to remember why you're in the sport and where you want to go, and just the hard work, I think, is the main thing. You know, if you put in the work, the results will show at the end of that.
Are you able to enjoy this process of preparing for an Olympic Games? There's a tiny proportion of sportsmen and women, north, south, east, or west, who get to do what you're doing right now. Are you able to kind of appreciate where you are?
Yeah, I think you got to remind yourself. I got to remind myself now and again. You know, it's a massive, massive opportunity. You know, it's the biggest sporting event that in my sport boxing I can go to. Like, you know, so I'm just training every day and enjoying the process. You know, from no age I believed I was going to go to the Olympics. So it's, in a sense, it's nothing new. You know, this is where I'm meant to go and what I'm meant to do. So I'm just enjoying every day. You know, I'm really grateful to be in the position I'm in. So I'm just going to enjoy every day and enjoy the journey at the end of the day, you know. That's the goal and that's where I'm going, so just enjoying the journey.
Yeah. And what do your contemporaries say to you? I'm conscious you're part of a well-known local boxing family. Your brother Jason, the talented fighter as well, him and your own mates. Mm. What do they say to you about, you know, that one of theirs is going to Paris?
Well, as Dad said, my brother said, you know, I'm still just Dean to them, you know. But... And my friends as well, you know, it's not really new. Like, it's just, you know, they know me, who I am, and, you know, we're close. That's, you know, I don't even anyone hyping me up if they're my friends or something. I don't want them fucking...
They'll bring you back down to earth quick enough.
Yeah, well, I don't want to be boasted up in a certain way, you know. I have a close circle of friends and family, yeah. And I am who I am, and, you know.
Yeah. So it's part of who you are, but it's not changing you.
Yeah, it's not changing me at all. Well, I hope not. But, yeah, I know. I'm really grateful to be in the position I'm in. You know, it's a very small number of people who get to represent their country at an Olympic Games, and I got to keep reminding myself that.
Let me bring Dad Jason back in again. I'm always curious about how the dynamic in the corner works between you and your fighter, who's also your son. Do Dean and Jason separate being father and son and become coach and fighter when you're in match mode or training mode?
Yeah, sometimes. A lot of the times now, Dean wouldn't listen, you know, he does his own thing. But that just makes Dean who he is, you know. He might see things that I mightn't see in the corner, and I might see things that he won't see, you know. So we work well together. The last couple of, like when we're sparring now, we'd say the last 2 years, I literally just have to give him the water, to be honest with you, you know, because he just goes out and amazes me the whole time, you know. He knows the ring, he's great at ring IQ, you know, so.
Did you see the spark in him? Like, what age would you say you said to yourself, there's something here?
I remember when he was about 10 and a half, 11, I used to come home, you know, I used to work on the building site, so I'd have different times I'd come home at 5, 6, 7. But I always remember this time I came back and it was raining heavy and it was dark. And all I could hear was whack, 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 whack. And, you know, hitting the bag out the back. I said, no way is that, Dean. So I crept up and looked around and he made a wee hut. And he had the timer in there because it was raining and he was in a vest, soaking. And I said, there's something special with this kid, you know. So I really focus a lot more on him and we got the results. Yeah. So I always believed in him, very proud of him.
Because around and behind every talented fighter, there's a team support, whether it's family, friends, coaches, etc. And we probably shouldn't underestimate the time and energy people like yourself and maybe Gran up the road and whoever it is, you know, put into what's going on here.
Yeah, people behind closed doors or don't see what happens behind closed doors, you know. The hours and hours and miles on the road me and Lean have done is unbelievable, you know, like from Dublin on a Wednesday to Kildare maybe on a Saturday, Galway, Cork, you know, on a Monday. You know, I used to take him out of school early, pretending to have a sick note, so my wife's probably listening to this now, it's going to kill me, but that's what I used to do, is take him out very early, maybe 11 o'clock, if we have to go to Galway or, you know, I'd say the dentist appointment or something, but they're the things you have to do, you know, just to get the results, and there's a story behind every success, you know, and I have plenty, believe me. Yeah.
Well, I suspect your story's still unfinished, Dean. You've still got you'd like to think you have a bit of writing to do. We're what? How many months are we out from Paris?
Five
months. So, is every kind of day mapped out for you at this stage? Do you kind of roughly know what you're going to be doing? Or do you allow yourself downtime, switch off time from boxing, from the Olympics?
To a certain extent, I got a downtime switching off for me could be just recovery days, you know, chilling out, doing mundane things, you know, going out, meet my friends and going for walks, or like yesterday my brother went to the hot box in Ross's Point, like, you know, a good swim and so on and stuff like that. Keeping healthy, you know, making the right decisions and not going out acting wag or anything like that, you know, just really focusing every day, like, you know, I've only a short time, like, well, it's 5 months, so, you know, I'm going to make sacrifices between now and then and enjoy the journey.
Yeah, I'm sure you've had to make a lot of sacrifices where there's things you wanted to do you couldn't do because of your sporting commitments. But I suppose, well, I'm asking, where you are now, does that make it worth it?
100%. When you look back, they're not really sacrifices at the end of the day, you know. I wouldn't be in the position I'm in if I didn't make them decisions at the time, you know. Yeah.
Okay. Will all the Clancys go to Paris?
Yes. We are all going over, the whole family, the granny as well. So it's not.
You better mention Granny. What's her first name?
Philomena Clancy. It's not every day you get a chance to go to the Olympics, but it's not every day your son is competing in the Olympics, so it's going to be great. I can't wait. Really can't. I believe he's going to do very well. So.
Lots to look forward to, Dean, finally.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the journey. You know, it's not long away now, so it's getting real and the hype's going to start starting soon, so. Big, massive best of luck to everyone heading away now next week. Hopefully get a few more names on the plane, a few more tickets for Ireland. Best of luck to all them. And a massive thank you to EJ Menswear and the Sligo Credit Union. You know, they've been supporting me the last number of months leading into the Paris 2024. So it's great. I'm grateful to have their support, you know, to make it a big difference.
And that has made a difference, whether it's a local business helping you out or even the homecomings you've had here in Manor Hamilton over the years, that the locals come out to congratulate one of their own.
Yeah, the support over the last number of months, and my whole short career so far, you know, it's only starting at the end of the day, has been amazing, and you know, it means a lot. From inspiring the next generation of young boxers in the club, you know, the numbers in the club has gone up since I qualified as well. And, you know, it's great to see that I have the support and I have the locals behind me in Sligo and Leitrim and Manor. You know, it means a lot. And, looking forward to Paris and bring back a medal for us all.
Sligo boxer Dean Clancy and his dad Jason on the build-up for the Paris Olympic Games this coming summer. And if you're wondering about the dates for the Paris Games, July 26th to August the 11th, 19 days of competition. The football and the rugby tournaments begin on July 24th this summer. As we mentioned at the top of the programme, another local athlete on the Team Ireland plane already, Mona McSharry. She's been given top seeding this week for the American National Collegiate Championship Finals in Swimming, the NCAAs, which are taking place on the 20th of this month for female swimmers. Mona is ranked number one for the women's 100 metres breaststroke, an event she finished runner-up in nationally in the US last year. She's also the number two seed for the women's 200 metres breaststroke. Well, the Sligo men's rugby team are having quite the season at Hamilton Park in Strandhill. They began it by winning the Connacht Senior League last October. Last Saturday, they ended Instonian's long unbeaten run at the summit of the All-Ireland League Division 2B with a 25 points to 24 win at Strandhill. And that victory confirmed an end of season playoff for Sligo at the end of the regulation season in Division 2B. They're looking upwards towards a possible promotion move. And now this Saturday, Sligo have the opportunity to win the Connacht Senior Cup on home turf. Buccaneers are the visitors for the final. Head coach Paddy Pearson has been chatting to Ocean FM Sport about having so much to play for at this business end of the season.
Yeah, it's really exciting times ahead for the next couple of months. I would say it's not by chance. It's from a lot of their hard work. The players have been putting in a massive amount of work, my coaching staff, Jar and Kieran, management team, and I think they're just getting the just rewards for it now.
So there's no magic sauce, secret formula that has clicked for Sligo this season. You think it's down to hard work?
No, it's just down to hard work and playing to their potential. It was no great shock for me, the result on Saturday, and obviously now that's given us a bit of breathing space heading into the playoffs, but obviously we're looking forward to the cup final this weekend.
And to remind people of what you did last Saturday, beating the Division 2 B League leaders Instonians from Belfast, who had won all 14 of their previous league games this season and looked, you know, on paper pretty unstoppable.
Yeah, they're unbeaten in two or three seasons now. So we gave them a good crack up in Belfast there before Christmas. Half the game we couldn't really get our hands on the ball, and they just blew us away in the end. So,
did you see last Saturday's performance coming?
I did, yeah, I did. I made it known to the players that if we perform, we'll get the result. And you know, you have to have things go your way in that, and we got the job done.
I know you say hard work. The players have put the work in, and your management team, but these guys have got to have belief as well. Where has that belief come from?
We probably left a lot of points behind us before Christmas, but we just regrouped, had a full squad pretty much available at the moment, and along with the hard work, each performance has just been getting better and better. Like away in Malahide, to get 5 points there is very tricky, and I think that probably showed them that whenever they perform, they'll beat anyone.
Once you got into the top four in the league, you've stayed there, and you've kind of pulled away from the teams chasing you. There must be a sense of satisfaction for you as head coach around that.
Yeah, it's probably pretty unique for us. I think last year we were scraping for a bonus point win on the last day to get into the playoffs. So to have three games available to us is a bit strange. But the other side of that, we've got to keep winning, getting momentum into the playoffs. We can't just switch off and then hope to perform. So we'll just keep tracking as we're doing. Like, it's a squad effort. We can play anyone. I made changes for Instonians. Some of our better performers put them on the bench and the other lads stepped up. So that's what we're about at the moment. Obviously, our development team have a plate semi as well this weekend, which we want to look to win. They'll have a final in the sports ground if they get the job done there too.
What would you say is the biggest change this season amongst the players, ball-wise? You know, if there was one thing that's changed, what would you say it is?
Not a whole lot, to be honest. Not a whole lot. I mean, you can have a bit of luck with injuries and different things like that, but it's just believing in yourselves and keep working hard. Like the players are putting in work every day, whether that's gym work, skills, reviews, recovery. They don't get too many days off, and I think because they're all buying into that, they're reaping the rewards for it.
I'm sure the All-Ireland League is your bread and butter, but you have an opportunity this weekend to complete a Connacht Senior League and Cup double. You beat the same opponents, Buccaneers, in the league final at the start of the season, and now you've got a very unique opportunity at home this weekend in the Cup final.
Yeah, it's nice to be at home. Obviously, they pipped us in the Cup final last year, which, to be honest, still hurts a little bit. I think we've done enough to win that game. And I think we need to take that edge into this weekend and get the job done at home, which is obviously we had to win the toss to play at home. But we won the senior league, so I think fair is fair, and we'll give them a good rattle.
And there seems to be great momentum around the club in general at the moment.
Yeah, it's great. Like, the underage is massive. A lot of good players coming through. I think the schools finals, obviously, this week, we should really have had two teams in the final. I think the Summerhill were pretty hard done by, and I think some decisions went against them. But look, the Grammar in another final. So the women's team, the women's rugby is massive. I think there's a women's lunch out in the club this weekend before our game, so it'd be good to see all them out there supporting the lads as well. And yeah, hopefully you're going strength to strength.
And do you enjoy this journey? You know, you're in your second tenure as head coach. You know, are you surprised by how well it's gone this season?
Yes and no. Like, obviously, I've been involved for a long time now, and the club's just getting stronger and stronger, and I think you get out of it what you put into it, and I think that's the reality of where we are now.
Paddy Pearson, Kiwi by birth, but getting more and more Irish by the week, head coach of the Sligo Senior Men's Rugby team ahead of this Saturday's Connacht Senior Cup final. Sligo against Buccaneers kicks off at 2 o'clock, and the club are hoping for big home support for this game. If you can't make it, it'll be live on the radio this Saturday afternoon. Compliments of Raftree & Co Accountants and Vera's Metrology partners. Ray Lannan and Pat Curran will be describing the action pitch side from Hamilton Park this Saturday at 2 p.m. That's on 102.5 FM. When we come back, Shane O'Mara on a second consecutive Super League end of season playoff for the EJ Sligo All-Stars basketball team. Sligo Rovers captain Emma Hansbury on the new Women's League of Ireland season, which begins for the Bit of Red this Saturday. And the darts community in Donegal remembers the late great Leo Molloy once again this Saturday in Kilcar. All of that is on the way.
The Final Whistle with Austin O'Callaghan.
We're on 083 3500 530 by WhatsApp and text. sport@oceanfm.ie is the email address, and you'll find us on Twitter as well at OceanFMSport. Here are the opening round of fixtures then for the 2024 SSE Airtricity Women's Premier Division. It kicks off this Saturday. The defending champions, Piemont United, who include Leitrim's Derva Le Burn in their squad, they go to Turner's Cross to play Cork City on Saturday at 5. Also on Saturday, Wexford play Bohemians. Athlone Town take on Galway United. It's DLR Waves of Dublin against Shamrock Rovers. And at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon in Tolka Park, Shelburne host Sligo Rovers under new boss Tommy Hewitt. Five new faces signed by Sligo Rovers during the closed season, including Yvonne Hedigan from Bohemians, former Castlebar Celtic teammate of Emma Hansbury's back in the day. The Sligo Rovers captain has been talking to LOI TV ahead of Saturday's start to the new League of Ireland season.
A couple of players left, but brought even more players in, and obviously a new management as well. So lots of fresh faces around the showgrounds, and just we're looking forward to all getting together and starting off the league on the 9th of March.
For you, last season was probably your best season back in the league in terms of playing minutes, because you'd struggled with several injuries in the first time back. You must be happy with that and how you've gradually built that time up and the experience that you're getting since coming back in.
Yeah, personally, I was happy with last season. Had a couple of little injuries last year as well, but nothing that kept me out the way I did in the first season. So this year for me, it's just about trying to stay injury free and building minutes in games and hopefully having a better season again than I have had the last 2 years.
there was games last year where at times you were very competitive, you know, you pushed some of the bigger teams to the end, but maybe their experience or they just at the last bit had stepped up a small bit. What can you take from last season?
Well, now we've 2 years under our belts now, obviously, so the younger girls have had a lot of games that they've played in the league, both cup and league games, so we hope to be that more experienced team this year. The new club is no more a Sligo Rovers, so we have to step up to play it this year and raise standards and try and be a bit more consistent this season as well, instead of, as you said, letting teams kind of get the win in the last 70, 80 minute mark. It's where we tended to die off, I guess, last season. So it's about staying a bit more focused, working on our fitness this year and hopefully being a bit more consistent in the games.
Steve Feeney made the decision last season to step down, new management come in, Tommy Hewitt's come in. Tommy has experience of sort of taking the club from with Athlone to where they were to where they went to. What's it been like working with Tommy so far?
It's been great, yeah, it's really good. It's a big change for us. Steve obviously got us to where we are now. He's had a great 2 years with the club. He's brought in a great group of players. We had a good base last season and the last two seasons. So this year now it's just about stepping it up. Tommy will have a different style of playing compared to what we've played the last 2 years, and it's just about working on that in pre-season and getting used to his ways and the management ways and trying to build on what we have created the last 2 years.
I have to ask, with Yvonne Heading coming in, getting that old Castlebar group back together one by one.
Yeah, it's great. It's good to have some familiar faces back in the showgrounds again. It's obviously Yvonne's home time as well. She obviously had a rocky couple of years with her injuries, so I think for Yvonne it's just about getting back confident, getting back minutes in the legs again, and really the most important thing for her is getting back enjoying football. So I think right now the right move for her was to come back home to Sligo, and it's great to be back able to share the pitch with her again.
Does it show though from you, from your personal life, when you made the move back, because you seem to be enjoying playing football as well, being at home?
Yeah, it's great. It's there's nothing better than representing your home club, and obviously it's a privilege to even captain the club as well. You're playing with all your friends in Sligo, making new friends, bringing new girls in from all over the region. So it's a real honour and a real privilege to play for Sligo Rovers, and I'm back really enjoying football again.
What sort of expectations do you set for this year? Is it just about, you know, start of the season, building in because of the changes that's been there? Or is it a more season goal, or is it just a game-by-game basis?
For us, we obviously want to do better than we have last year. Any team will tell you that, of course. We're just going to try and focus on ourselves this season, try and be more consistent, try and climb the table a little bit higher than we have the last 2 years, and see where the league takes us this year.
Yeah, that's Sligo Rovers captain Emma Hansbury speaking to LOI TV in advance of the start of the women's SSE Airtricity Premier Division season, which starts this Saturday. Rovers away to Shelburne in Tolka Park on Saturday afternoon at 2:00. Shelburne finished runners-up to Piemont United last season in the table. Rovers, for the record, finished 9th out of 11 clubs in last season's League of Ireland. They won just 3 league games all season. They did reach the semi-finals, the last 4 of last season's FAI Cup. And the first home game for Sligo Rovers will be on Saturday night, the 30th of March, against Galway United. Rovers are going to have the home women's games at 7 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday nights on alternate weekends to the men during the new League of Ireland season. So away to Shelburne this Saturday, then the first home game for Sligo Rovers is on the last Saturday in March, the 30th, 7 p.m. against Galway United. Moving from there to basketball, EJ Sligo All-Stars confirmed their place in the end-of-season Men's Super League playoffs last Saturday night at the Mercy College Gym with a 98-94 win over fellow playoff hopefuls Temple Og. The game had its contentious moments in the closing stages, with Temple Og officials claiming they heard a whistle in the closing seconds of the match, which disrupted their push for equalising or winning scores. But the result stood, and with 2 regulation league games to go, the All-Stars cannot finish worse than 4th in the Northern Conference, and so they are assured of an end-of-season playoff place. The top 4 teams in the North Conference play the top 4 teams from the South Conference in quarter-final playoff playoff games. Here's head coach Shane O'Mara speaking to reporter Gavin Coley after last Saturday's win, and first on that whistle which had Tempelog coaches upset in the closing seconds of the game.
Such a crowd in that gym tonight, it's so hard to know. I'll be honest, I didn't hear any whistle. I know that there were the minute that the referee had blown a whistle, but I think it was a hand signal that one of the guys misread or something. But look, it's the roundabouts for us because, you know, it comes around, goes around. We've been at the wrong end of some calls. I don't know. I look back on it later and see. But to be honest with you, I would have felt we'd have been robbed if we'd lost the game tonight, because the boys had done such a great job coming back, going up by, I think we were up by 11 at one stage. I know they made a couple of big shots, but I still think we're same as in the last couple of wins. We're still in control of the game, regardless. You know, we really looked after possessions down the stretch when we needed them. But you know, you'd have to be so proud of those fellas tonight, because we got into foul trouble early. Briggsy and Gio both got in foul trouble, and we managed to eke it out. The likes of Finn Hughes, for me, was enormous tonight coming off the bench, and the contribution he made, a couple of huge buckets and timely shots. He made a massive three for us as well, and that really gave us the edge in them. I think on paper we felt like we had the better team on paper, but it just wasn't happening for us for a good bit of the first half. And once things settled a little bit, we got in control of things defensively. We switched things up a little. We went from man to a zone, and it made a little bit more difficult for them, and made use of our size. So you know, things like that kind of brought things around in our favour, but they just kept plugging and plugging, and they never gave up.
First half, you wouldn't have been happy with some elements of the match in the first half.
Yeah, and the boys knew at halftime there was more in them. I think we could have done better first quarter for sure defensively. We were on path for giving up far too many points. But we were down Oisin O'Reilly tonight with a fractured toe. He was a big loss as well for us. So it was a shallow rush. It's going to be week to week at the moment, and we'll just see how it goes for him. But he's in quite a bit of discomfort at the moment with it, and I suppose like any fracture, it can vary between the individual, but it could mean the end of the season for him, or you know, he might get a lucky break, forgive the pun, but he might be back before we know it.
And I think it's two games left. We're looking at the table there, we're both speaking for the interview.
Yep.
It looks like it's beyond possibility now. You can't not make the last eight in the playoffs. So yeah,
exactly.
It's just a matter now who you'll be facing. And you were saying it's between maybe Belfast or Armagh or...
No, it's looking most likely like Marie. It'll be cross conference for sure. So it's somebody in the Southern Conference, and right now it looks like Marie have won the Southern Conference. And if that's the case and we're fourth, it'll be Marie away like it was last year. And that'll be a great game for us, because it'll be a game of redemption, hopefully, where we were up by 17 at half time. Tom got injured in the third quarter, and we struggled for the rest of the game as a result. Hopefully, we've learned something from that, and I suppose we'd go into that game with a bit of confidence that we can cause an upset.
And is it a case now, the last two games, the likes of Temple over behind you? So, on your side of things, you can make your overall position maybe slightly better, but looking at the table, it's very hard to see you making the sixth spot in the overall scheme of things. But is it a case that you rest players now, or what way do you treat the last two games?
I think winning is a habit, and you know, we'll continue the way we've been doing, preparing as best as we can. You know, Neptune, you give them credit, they're a really good squad, there's huge talent there. It's not too often that, you know, our crowd gets to see them coming to Sligo. So the equivalent is seeing Shamrock Rovers there in soccer, or getting your Dublin or your Kerry up here playing Gaelic football. So I think it's important that we prepare for it the same as we would for a regular game, and that the crowd get what they deserve in as a performance. I mean, we're beyond doubt the best supported team in the country now at the moment. It's phenomenal. We had two busloads of kids coming down from Donegal Town even to tonight. Tickets are at a premium. That's just, I suppose, it's great to have it that way. I wouldn't be messing with the formula at the moment and jeopardising that. And for us, the Super League really is all about that showcase and getting people to fall in love with the game.
Shane O'Mara, EJ Sligo All-Stars head coach, speaking to Gavin Cawley. The All-Stars currently fourth in the North Conference behind Belfast Star, Griffith College Aina of Dublin and Colestra of Dublin. The All-Stars on 24 points, though they can't be caught there. And they're likely to play the top-placed team in the South Conference, which, as Shane mentioned, is Galway Mary. Ballincollig currently second in the South Conference. Garvey's Tralee Warriors third and Killorglin of Kerry fourth. A reminder, the remaining two Super League games for the All-Stars before the playoffs are both at home. This Saturday night, they welcome Neptune of Cork to the Mercy College Gym, tip-off 7:30. And then on Saturday week, the 16th of March, Ulster University, the visitors to the Mercy Gym, tip-off also at 7:30. Well, a big weekend of darts ahead in Donegal as the popular Leo Molloy darts tournament takes place on Saturday in Kilcar. This year's event marking the 25th anniversary of the death of Leo Molloy, who was a driving force for darts in the county and beyond for so many years. €3,000 in prize money available this Saturday, including €1,000 for the overall winner. It's a singles competition. One of the tournament organisers is Ken Kennedy, who's been reminding us of the heritage and appreciation of the late Leo Molloy.
Leo was one of the main instigators in darts in South West Donegal, and indeed in the county. He was manager of the first county team that won the All-Ireland way back in the 90s, and it's fitting actually they won the All-Ireland 2 or 3 weeks ago. Leo's passing was in December, 25 years ago in December, so it's a poignant year, and we'd be hoping that we'd have a great turnout in memory of the great man and the great gentleman that he was. So hopefully we'll have a good turnout, Austin.
Well, it does seem to attract the crowds each year, and Donegal, just generally speaking, is having a very good year in darts, having won the All-Ireland Intercounties Championship recently, the West Coast Challenge. Darts seems to be on a hot streak in the county at the moment.
We're lucky at the minute. We have 5 or 6 lads that are representing Ireland at all levels. The county team are extremely strong. I think maybe Luke Littler has had a big impact on the amount of young people that seem to have taken up darts in Christmas, which is great to see. So hopefully Donegal darts and darts in Ireland in general will go from strength to strength, you know.
And in terms of Saturday's tournament, it's a singles tournament. Give us a quick beginner's guide how it works.
Singles tournament, 8 boards in play on the day. You'll be assigned to a board and you'll stay there for the duration of whatever time the board finishes, and from there you go into quarterfinals. The board stages will be all best of 9. The board stages are best of 7. The quarters best of 9. The semi final is best of 11, and the final will be best of 13. This year we have probably one of the biggest prize pots for a one off competition, maybe in the country. With over €3,000 on offer for the day, you know. The winner is guaranteed €1,000, you know, so it's a pretty big prize pot, you know. There's prizes on down for best female on the day, best under 18 on the day. So it's all inclusive. So hopefully the turnout will be good, Austin, you know.
And registration is on the day, Ken, so people can call to Kilcar House from 2:30 on Saturday afternoon.
That's correct. Any time from 2:30 up until we'll be taking names up until about 3:30, and we'll be doing the draw, and then we'll be hoping to get going as soon or as close to 4:00 as possible. So in order to get going early, we need everybody in early, and we can get the games going and hopefully get everybody home early that night and home safely, and that's what it's all about, you know.
And there is an enjoyment factor here as well as the actual intense competition.
Ah, yes, indeed, yeah. It was great to see, and the amount of young people just come out to watch it. You're watching Shane McGurk just this week, who won it last year, has been over in England on the Modus Pro Tour and got to the finals night, which unfortunately he lost. But, you know, that's the standard of darts you're dealing with. They're almost semi-pro, you know, so it's sure that any non-dark throwers, if they come in, they're going to get a great day's entertainment, you know.
And you mentioned the Luke Littler effect earlier on. Have you noticed that in Kilcar?
Oh, yeah. Well, the amount of young people since Christmas that have come in, we get them in here at night and throwing darts. It's, you know, and we had another competition in Carrick a few weeks ago, and 15 or 20 lads that weren't throwing this time last year, and you see them throwing this year, which is great to see, you know. So it can only be beneficial for the sport, and more power to them.
Yeah, the Luke Littler effect reaching Kilcar these days. That is Big Ken Kennedy ahead of Saturday's Leo Molloy singles tournament in memory of the great Leo Molloy. 2:30 registration opens in Kilcar House if you'd like to go along, and it's open to male, female players and under-18s as well. And a big day of darts assured this Saturday. A reminder, this programme is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie, and wherever you get your podcasts, search for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle to find it. We're back with you next week, same time, same place.